Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory to God.
Turn to Genesis, I think it's chapter 21. Hallelujah. Lord God. Did I say 21? I think 31. I'm sorry. Yeah. You got to stay, you got to look alive when I'm here. Yeah, if I tell you the wrong thing. It's actually, yeah, Genesis 31. I've been camping with Jacob lately. You guys know what I mean? Jacob is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is Isaac's son. His mom's name was Rebecca. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the vision that Jacob had while he was sleeping on top of some rocks. And God showed him a vision, a ladder, and it's well known, known as Jacob's ladder. Jacob had a brother named Esau, if you guys remember that. And Esau was his older brother. They were twins. But Esau came out first. And when Esau came out, he was red and hairy all over, and that's where the word Esau comes from. It means rough to touch. I mean, you know somebody that's kind of rough to touch. Whatever you do, don't touch them, man. They're a little rough. But he was rough to touch. He was red and hairy, had a lot of hair. But Jacob, the baby coming out of the womb, he grabbed a hold of his brother's foot and got a hold of that thing, and so they named him Jacob, which means foot grabber, heel grabber is what it means. So the name Jacob means heel grabber or supplanter. And I looked up, I wasn't sure what supplant means. It means somebody, someone that wants to trip you up or take over. That's a supplanter, somebody in your life. You might be a supplanter, you might not know. You might be after somebody's position. So you're just waiting to trip them up. You better not. God is watching everything you do. How many of you know that God, there's a law that says, there's a law of God that says, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it. How many of you know that? Yeah, that's a word for you this morning. How you like that? Right off the bat, I'm going to give you a word. You better be careful what you're sowing. Can I tell you, I was talking to a young guy in my youth group a few years ago, and I told him, man, I said, you know, what you sow, you're going to reap. He goes, I don't sow. My mom sows. Okay, that's not the same kind of sowing. How many know that's not the same? Everybody is sowing something. How many know that? Everybody. I don't care. Everybody in this room is sowing something. It can be good or it can be bad. But whatever you're sowing, you better know that the Word of God, God says, I will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap that. And Jacob was kind of a heel grabber. He was kind of a young man that was after his brother's position. The brother had the inheritance. The older brother had the inheritance. The older brother had the blessing on him if it got that far. So, I kind of made a comment. Jacob's mom, Rebecca, the Lord had told her something while she was pregnant because the babies were kicking each other in her womb. And so mom went and asked God, why is this happening? And the Lord told her, hey, there's two kids in your womb. And he says, but what's going to happen is the younger is going to rule over the older, and the older baby is going to serve the younger. So mom had this idea of what God had said. So when it got time for Isaac, their dad was passing away. When they got time, Rebecca told her youngest son, hey, your brother's going out to the field to go hunt for venison for his dad so that his dad can give him a blessing. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to fix you up. Let's put some hair on your arms. Let's put your brother's jacket on you so that your dad, who can't see, he's blind. So let's just take you in there and let you take the blessing. So they did that. Him and his mom, they dressed him up, went in, and actually supplanted. Is that okay? The word supplanted. He took the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. And you know, isn't it crazy? The Word of God doesn't cut any corners. It tells you the whole story. It tells you the whole truth. It doesn't let you go. Is that right? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that the Bible tells you the whole story? The Bible tells you that men can be weird sometimes. How many know that? How many know men can be weird? Come on, hardly any of you. Raise your hand if you know people can be weird. You know, I'm going to tell you what, people can get weird on us, man. Is that right? How many know that's okay? How many know that's okay? You know, sometimes people that are messing with you tell him, hey, man, oh, you're one of them Jesus freaks? How many Jesus freaks are here? Yeah, I guess I am. You say, even those guys that tell you, hey, you're a Jesus freak, you say, man, yeah, people can be weird, but God knows you. Brother Pat was telling me, he goes, as some guy had told him, hey, you know, he goes, do you know the Lord? He goes, no, I'm an atheist. And Pat told that brother, that's okay. God knows you're an atheist. Guy looked at him, had no answer for that. Come on, man. That's all right, man. God knows where everybody's at. He really does. And Jacob was this guy that would take his brother's birthright. It's crazy. So mom, after he had stolen his brother's blessing, mom told him, hey, you need to get out of town because your brother Esau had come back, realized that he had taken the blessing from his father Isaac, and told his friends, hey, as soon as my dad passes away, I'm going to kill Jacob for doing this. So mom heard that and said, you need to go. You need to go. And so Jacob did. He left. Talked about where he slept on some rocks one evening, and the Lord gave him a dream at night. And I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago that everybody in this house, God's trying to give you a dream. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to take you someplace, and he'll give you dreams to help you to understand what he might have for you. And Jacob saw this dream, and God had told him, I will bless you. The place that you're laying on right now, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to watch over you. And Jacob actually saw angels climbing up and down this ladder. And so he moves into his uncle's land where Laban, his uncle, was living. And Laban noticed him, and right away Jacob, I mean, first thing he found was his girlfriend. Is that right? We got there, and he's, oh, I like this girl here. And that girl just happened to be his uncle Laban's daughter. And so he asked Laban, he goes, hey, can I serve you for your daughter? And he says, yes, you can. Yes, you may. So Jacob says, great. He goes, you're going to have to serve me for 7 years. He says, okay, cool, man. He loved her. Love at first sight. Yeah. Served for 7 years. When it was time for her to be his bride, the next morning, and he gets up in the morning after his wedding, and it's not Rachel, it's the older sister Leah that's in his bedroom. And he goes, what? How would you like that? What's going on? So he goes to his father-in-law and says, what's happening? He goes, hey, it's not right in our culture that we give the younger daughter away first. You have to marry the older one first, and then you can have the. He said, dude, you didn't tell me that. And he didn't say that, but he says, okay, well, I'll sell. He said, fulfill her week, and I will. And for another 7 years, you can serve me, and you can have Rachel. He says, but so Jacob's in love. He goes, okay, I'll serve you another 7 years. So after that week, Rachel became his wife number two. Kind of crazy. But do you see how his supplanting was already beginning to turn around on him? Do you see that? Do you see that because he had ripped his brother off, now Laban is kind of doing the same thing to him. See, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's what the Word of God says. Isn't that crazy? And so he's serving Laban, and the Bible says that he loved Rachel, but he didn't care for Leah too much. So the Lord saw that. Isn't that crazy? The Lord saw that, and he goes, okay, check this out. All of a sudden, Leah started having babies. Laban had given Leah's handmaiden to Leah. And so Jacob, I mean, they start having kids all over the place, and that kind of weird. Anyway, but Leah, for some, I mean, Rachel, for some reason, couldn't have babies. And then the Bible says that one day that the Lord says, then he remembered Rachel, and he opened her womb, and she had two sons. One was Joseph, and you guys remember the other name? The name of the other one was Benjamin. And after we had all these kids, Jacob decides, he goes, you know what, I want to go back to my mom's house. I want to go back to my father's land. And he tells Laban, his uncle, and he says, hey, it's time. I'm going to take my kid and my families, and we're going to go back into Israel. We're going to go back, well, back into my country, he said. And Laban didn't want him to go, because Laban told him, he said, look, ever since you got here, God has been blessing me. Do you know that the blessing will follow people of God? Do you know that? How many know that? How many know that the blessing is on you because you love Jesus, you know God, and you've given him honor and glory in your life? You know him. So guess what? He said, I'm going to bless you for that. I will bless you. And this blessing was following Jacob. And Laban told him, you know what? Ever since you got here, man, things have been, the cows have been good, the sheep, the goats, everything's doing good. He goes, serve me another 7 years and I'll let you go. Good, man. Okay. He goes, tell me what your wages are. Laban's asking Jacob for, what do you want? And Jacob says, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's take all the spotted, speckled, and striped cattle and goats out of the herds, out of your herds. And let's put them off way over there. The Bible says they actually put them off 3 days' journey away. So they were separate, a big separation. And he said, and from now on, any animal that comes out speckled, spotted, or striped, that'll belong to me. How's that sound, Laban? Laban says, hey, that's a deal. Okay. Because Laban's thinking he's got nothing but brown cows. None of them are spotted. And all the spotted ones are way over there. So Laban's saying, cool, dude. That sounds like a good thing to me. Because after 7 years, I'll leave. I'll take what's mine and we'll go. Okay. So they make this deal. And what Jacob does is there was a watering place where the cows would go down there. And all the cattle, they'd go down there and they'd drink water. And a lot of times they'd conceive right there. So what he did was he took some trees and stripped the bark on it where it made like stripes. And he laid them like a fence around there. And every time these cows and these cattle would get in there and they'd conceive in there, guess what happened? These animals started coming out with stripes on them. And everything. It must be something to do. And I've been asking God, you got to give me a message out of that because I know there's something in there. There's something, folks, about what you see, what comes out of you. Is that okay? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You got to watch what you're looking at. You better watch what you're seeing because it does have an effect on you. But anyway, he's got all these cows and they're having striped cows and everything. But he started noticing there's some weaker cattle and some stronger cattle. So he goes, okay, you know what we'll do is we'll put the stronger cattle in here and let them conceive. And we'll let the weaker ones, we'll put a watering trough over here, let the weaker ones come over here and everything they conceive can go to Laban. Crafty fellow. Would you say this guy knows what he's doing? This guy is, he is a supplanter. He is a heel grabber. You know what heel grabbers, you guys watch the NFL, you've seen those guys reach out and grab a leg, boom, and it trips them up. That's a heel grabber, and that's what he does. I mean, that's his name, Jacob. Hallelujah. So Jacob's flock is getting bigger and stronger. Cattle's looking good. Laban's flock are looking a little weaker. They're brown, but they're not as strong as Jacob's. And that's where we're going to read. We're going to read the scripture here. That's where we're going to come in. And this is Genesis chapter 31. Laban's servants started noticing. How many of you know after a while they're going to notice? Is that right? After a while, they can say, people, you know, people have a weird way of comparing things. I mean, hey, that's not right. Hey, what's that, man? You know, and they're looking, and Laban's servants are starting to notice. And they saw that Jacob was increasing while Laban wasn't increasing that well. So here, this is where we start. Genesis chapter 31, starting with verse 1. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I ask you, Lord, that as we read your word, Lord, that you would help us to apply it into our lives, God. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. Your word tells us, Father God, is very clear that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, Lord, that anything is done in your kingdom. So, Lord, we ask you this morning that by your spirit, you would show us, show to each and every one of us, myself so included. God, I so much want to know what you are saying to the house this morning. We ask you for it. We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Starting at verse 1. And the word of God says, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's, he has gotten all this glory. Are we there? And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. How many like that verse? I like it. You know, when you're getting ripped off, how you know your face doesn't look so good? How many know that? Yeah. Some of you, I can tell you're getting ripped off today. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you. But something, you know, when you're getting, somebody's taking you to the cleaners, you feel it. How many know that? And this is what his boys are, this is what Jacob is noticing. He goes, uh-oh, he's not looking at me like he used. When he would look at me, I used to be a blessing to this man. But now it looks like I'm a curse to him. And that's exactly what was going on. Is that right? Hallelujah. In verse 3, he says this, and the Lord said to Jacob, return unto the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Amen? So right there, God has told him something. He says, okay, it's time. Go back to the land of your family, and I'm going to be with you, Jacob. So actually what Jacob does then, he talks to his wives, which are Laban's daughters, and they said, hey, our place is with you. So they get up and they take off. They take off without telling the father-in-law. Is that right? That ain't right? You better never do that in my life, man. I'll tell you, I'll come after you. I'll hunt you down. Yeah. No. But they got up and they left. The Bible says they were 3 days' journey gone before Laban even really knew it and heard. So Laban packs up his animals and said, let's go. Let's go. So he takes off after them. The night before he catches them, the Lord gives Laban a dream. Remember, we talked about dreams. The Lord gave Laban a dream and told him, you be careful what you say. Make sure you don't say anything good or bad to him. I have sent him home. So when Laban gets there, he tells his son-in-law, he goes, look, God, he said, this is not good. I was ready to take my daughters back and kill you. And he says, but I was warned in a dream that God had told you to leave. He says, so let me just kiss my kids. Let me hug them so they know I love them. And then you can go. There was also an issue that somebody had taken an idol of Laban's, which was Rachel. And she had taken one of her dad's idols, and they were looking for it and never found it. But Isaac, gets up in the morning, talks with his father-in-law. They make a pact. They say, hey, man, we will never. He goes, I'm not going to go over there to give you any trouble. I'm going to watch over your daughters. You don't have to worry about me. I'm going to take care of them. Amen? How many know it's important that dads say, hey, man, make sure you take care of my daughter. Is that right? I will buy a gun. Hallelujah. You're not taking care of my daughter? I will buy a gun. You're not taking care of my granddaughter? I'll buy a gun. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. That's not good for a preacher to say it. I don't know, man. But when it comes to kids, well, grandma and grandma. Anyway, hallelujah. So he tells them. He goes, okay. He goes, hey, are we good? Good. So Laban gets up, takes his men, and they leave. And we're going to start in chapter 32. Starting at verse 1, the Bible says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Who? What does it say? Who met him? The angels of God. See, that's what's cool. What's cool about Abraham saw angels, talked with them all the time. They even told Abraham, your wife's gonna have a son. And she laughed. She was 90 years old. Yeah, right. But God still got, this is a man that came, his dad saw angels. Can I tell you that God, that men of God, holy men of God, pass holy things onto their children? Is that cool? I'm going to tell you something. It's important that you understand that. Because those great things that you got are man, it is inheritable to your children, to their children, to their grandchildren. And that's cool, man. I love it. And can I tell you, it gets stronger and stronger every time. Here, Jacob is heading out now to go to his land. And the first thing he sees that morning, angels. Hallelujah. I love it, man. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. And that's what I say. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. Can I tell you, it wasn't just a couple of big angels. It was a bunch of angels. It's a host, a whole bunch. And he said, and he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. Can you put Mahanaim up there? Everybody say Mahanaim. You gotta drag the, you gotta give that out of it. That's Jewish. That's the way Jewish people talk. Mahanaim. That's it. Mahanaim, it means double camp. So here Jacob sees that he is in the presence of angels, and he says, man, there's two camps here. There's a camp of the angels, and there are camp. Isn't that cool? Do you know that the Word of God says that he sets his angels round about those that love him? There's two camps around you. There's angels that are camped around you. Isn't that cool? Come on, man. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's a good deal. Angels on my right hand, angels on my left, angels behind me, angel. What can happen to me? Hallelujah. God, the Word of God says that they are all ministering angels sent forth to minister to the people that love God. Isn't that cool? Come on, man. Yeah, give me a high five. Boom. You guys didn't see that yet. Hallelujah. He's a good God, man. He puts angels around about. Hallelujah. And Jacob sent messengers before to Esau, his brother, under the land of Seir, to the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Can I say something real quick? It sounds good, doesn't it? But Jacob still hasn't learned all his lessons yet. He says, you tell my lord Esau. Can I tell you what? People can put on a front. How many know that? Look at your neighbor and say, quit putting on a front. Hey, come on, man. You know, people can say things, but you know why? He goes, hey, go tell my lord Esau. Jacob might not have been feeling that way in his heart, because he knew that the promise said that he was going to rule over his brother. How many know that? And he tells a servant, go tell Esau that we're coming. Commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak to my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith this, I have journeyed with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, I have donkeys, flocks, men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in your sight. Buttering him up. How many know, when he left, his brother was planning to kill him. And now he's buttering him up. And then he says this. And so, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we have come to thy brother Esau. We came to your brother Esau, and he also comes to meet you. Cool. But then they said, with 400 men with him. Oh, boy. And Jacob, verse 7 says, was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. What's the problem with that? Did he not forget what he saw? Didn't he see two camps of angels? Didn't he say, hey, there's a camp of angels out there with me? He, all of a sudden, this bad news that says, hey, your brother's coming with four, not just four guys, 400 men. All of a sudden, he's got in his head, he's coming to wipe me out. He said, all of a sudden, the promise where God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you, Jacob. Go back to your place. Go back to where your country is. All those things all of a sudden just dissolved right in front of him. And now he's saying, man, I got to do something. Okay, I'm going to split them up into two. Excuse me, I'm talking too fast for my lips. How many of you do that same thing? Something happens and you start talking to yourself. You start projecting. Is that right? The evil that's going to happen. Oh, boy, they're going to come get the house. They're going to kick me and the family out on the street. We're going to be out there. People are going to run over us. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You got to maintain the promise that God gives you. Is that right? How many of you know it's important you maintain the promise? How do you maintain a promise with God? You rehearse it to yourself. No, God said, I will watch over you. I will take care of you. But not Jacob. Jacob's making plans. Okay, this is what I got to do. And then in the midst of that, it's almost like all of a sudden something hits him and says, God. So here's the next verse. Verse 9 says, and Jacob said, oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said to me, return to your own country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I've become too bad. Now he's talking to God, which how many of you know that's the greatest thing to do? That's what you need to do in trouble. How many know that? When you're going through trouble, you need to go to God. You need to talk to him. Say, God, this is what your promise said. And this is what's happening. Can you see that, God? And Jacob is rehearsing what God had told him. You told me to go back. I'm going back. And I love the way he says it. He says, I came over with just my staff. I came this way going towards Laban's house with my staff. And now I'm returning, and I've got all this cattle and houses and kids. Cattle and people. And I got all these men servants and maiden servants. And I've got all this stuff, God. And here I come. And God, you got to do something. You got to help me, God. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? God does bless his people. Even when they're not acting right. How many know that? Do you know that sometimes people don't act right? Do you know that sometimes you don't act right? Do you know that sometimes I don't act right? Come on, man. God said to me one day, you meant people are people. Just don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I said, Lord, we don't need another church in this valley. How many of you guys know that? I said, God, we got churches on every corner. What do we need another church here? You know what? When I started this thing, I said, Lord, it doesn't matter. We'll take anybody that wants to come. Isn't that cool? How many know there's been people that have been hurt with churches? How many know that? Anybody say, man, some folks get hurt in churches. Some folks do. I don't want to hurt people in this church. I want to bless. I want to build you up because I know every person in this house has something that God has given them. And God is trying to build them and strengthen them. And you know what? And God, how many know God is invisible? Do you know that? He's invisible. You can't see him. So it's easy to put him out of sight, out of mind. That's why it's important that we as the body of Christ encourage and build up and strengthen one another. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, I don't care. I'll take the ones that nobody wants. Praise God. Nobody wants y'all. I'm kidding you. Come on, man. Can't even mess around. Mess around with these folks. Yeah. Look at all the mad faces out there. Yeah, come on. Come on, man. How many know that God loves people? No matter who they are, he loves them. The word of God says, which I love that song this morning, he died on a cross for them. Hallelujah. The one you don't like. Come on. He died. Jesus died on a cross for that man, that woman. Come on, man. Rethink things sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope God's talking to some of you because God's talking to me. I'm getting it. Come on. Ooh, man, watch out, man. Don't jump. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Two bands, I've been blessed, he says. Verse 11, he says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the moms with the children. And you said, Lord, I'm throwing some of the words in, you guys. And you said, Lord, I will surely do you good and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob is doing excellent, a beautiful thing for you to understand that he's rehearsing what God has told him in the ears of God. He said, you said this, Lord. This is what you said. I remember standing in front of my house and I said, Lord, I thought you said you were going to give me a house. And the Lord said something, why should I give you anything more if you won't maintain what I've given you now? So Rosie and I went to painting the house, cleaning the yard. We got it. And see, but my heart was, God, you said. And I was back behind this building back here in the back, walking around praying. The Lord said, this is the house that I promised you. I love it, Lord. But Rosie and I can't live here. It's too big for us. No, man. He's talking about something else. How many know he's talking about something else? Praise God. He's rehearsing God's word back to him. So verse 13 says, and he lodged there that same night and took that which came to his hand, a present for his brother Esau. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 100 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 donkeys, 10 fowls. And he delivered them to the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said to his servants, pass over before me and put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, whose art thou? And where goest thou? And whose are these that are before you? Then you shall say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And he sent those guys off. He moved them out. He said, okay, take that drove, take that gift. Now take that gift. Okay, now you guys go, take that gift. Sounds like a pretty good thing to do. I mean, you know, is that right? Sounds like a fair thing to do. I'm going to give my brothers, I'm going to shower him with gifts. So there is no way his 400 men will kill me in the family. Hallelujah. And so went the present over before him. And the Bible says in verse 21, and himself he lodged that night in the company. Laid down, laid in his bed, and fell asleep. Not really. Because the very next verse says, and he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two woman servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. I want you to get this. He lays down. He says, okay, there it goes. The gifts are on their way. They're moving. They're moving forward. He goes, okay, great. Esau should be good. Lays down. And I would imagine that while he's trying to sleep, it's going through his head, it's not enough. That is not enough. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we try to do on our own what God is trying to do for us. We try to do those things on our own. So we figure it out. How many know we're going to figure it out for God? How many of you try figuring things out for God? How many of you have ever done that before? Come on, man. You know what? You know, God, you're not doing this fast enough, so I think I'm going to go ahead and step into this. I need a job, God, but you're not answering, so I'm going to go over here. You know that God tells you to wait for him? And I think that Jacob is having this panic attack. And he's saying, man, I got, you know what? Gets up and he gets his kids and his family and he takes them across this place called Jabbok. Can you put up the word Jabbok? The word Jabbok means pouring forth. Pouring forth. Everybody say pouring forth. Pouring forth. It's crazy. So he takes them over and he puts them off to the side. And then the Bible says this. And this is a strange verse right here. You're going to agree with me when I read it. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. That's a weird scripture, isn't it? The Bible says he was alone. And at the same time it says, and there he wrestled somebody. Okay, wait a minute. You just said you were alone. How can you be wrestling somebody when you're alone? Can I tell you that he was already wrestling with that man when he laid down to sleep and he couldn't sleep? He woke up. He said, it's not enough. I got to do something more. God, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I'm going to go ahead and move my kids out of the way because I'm afraid that that Esau is going to kill my kids. And Lord, I don't know what to do. And what he did was he began to wrestle a man. Freddie, where are you, bro? Come here, man. Come here, man. Come here, Freddie. Can you come up here a minute, Fred? Come on, brother. Come here, man. Let me see. Come on. Yeah, there he is. Dave, come here. Andale. Come on, Fred. Come here, David. Come here. Come here, man. We're getting ready to have a wrestling match. Yeah. I want you to beat that. Hallelujah. Let go of me, man. No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine wrestling with a man that is more powerful than you, so much more powerful than you ever? There you go. Can you imagine it? Who was Jacob wrestling with? He was wrestling with the Lord. Huh. You didn't know you could wrestle with God, did you? Oh, you can. Let me just tell you this. You can wrestle with God. But can I tell you one thing? You cannot beat him. Anybody, raise your hand if you think you can out-wrestle God. You got more strength than God. This is God right here. Hi, God.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. This is Jacob. But there is one thing that you can do if you're wrestling God. You know what you can do? It's what I would do. I would hold on for dear life. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible says that Jacob was doing when he was wrestling him. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Nelly, come on. Tap out. Praise God. Yeah, that boy. Praise God now. Verse 25 says this, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is when the Lord saw that he was not prevailing against Jacob. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And I don't know if any of you have ever had anything out of joint. How many people have something out of joint? Is it painful? Oh, come on, it's painful. The Bible says that the angel told him, hey, man, the day is breaking, man, let go of me. Abraham said, I'm not letting go of you till you've got to bless me. You have got to bless me. See, Jacob already had the word of God. He already had what God had told him. But what he needed was that absolute, God, I know I need what you have given me. I need it. And folks, you can do the same thing with God today. God has given you certain things. He's given you giftings. He's given you abilities that you might not even know that you have. They're deep within you. And the way to get them out, you got to pour out. That, like Jabbok, it says that it's a place of pouring forth. He grabbed a hold of him. He said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. That angel tapped him on the leg, and his hip came out of the joint. Isn't that crazy? And I don't know about you. That would have stopped me, probably. I've got a knee that pops out of joint. You guys know, I got this knee. I got to be careful with it sometimes, too. My daughter tells me that I've got she gives me the lame of the tendons that are stretched. But this knee, I used to bend down to put bolts in these big liners, and one time I bent over too far. I think I had twisted it, and that knee come out, that bone come out of that knee socket. And I'm going to tell you something. I stood up. I couldn't imagine how fast I stood up, and I kicked it forward, and it popped back in. And then ever since then, that knee has come out. You know what lining a mill is about, isn't it, bro? Yeah, anyway, and every once in a while, I'll be doing something, and the thing will pop out on me, and it's painful. It's crazy. One day, I was underneath a Suburban putting the gas tank back up, and I got it up, man, and I looked. I needed the bolts. They were just where I couldn't grab them. So I get this great idea. I'm going to kick them over. So I get my leg out there, and guess what? That knee decided to pops out. Oh, man, all that work getting that tank up, I had to drop it down, get out, and shake it out. But I know what getting something out of socket is like. There is a lot of pain going on. And when that happened with Jacob, he still didn't let go. His flesh, come on, oh, you got to get this word. His flesh did not distract him for what he was doing. Come on, tell you, come on, you know your flesh will distract you. You know, all of a sudden you're praying and all of a sudden there's one more piece of pie in there. I want to go get that piece of pie while I'm praying here. You totally forget about God, don't you? Come on, man. You're driving down the road praying. And all of a sudden you say, oh, I like that Corvette. All that prayer up in smoke. Come on. Hey, I'm touching somebody here, man. The Holy Ghost is going after somebody here. Come on, man. Isn't that true? Isn't that crazy? But Jacob, the pain he was going through, his flesh was yelling and screaming at him. Jacob said, I'm not letting go. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go, Lord, until you bless me. You've got to bless me, Lord. Because without your blessing, I can't keep going forward. You know that he was intending exactly to do what God had told him to do. I got to keep going forward. God told me to go forward. I got to go forward. And sometimes you're having problems. Things are happening in your life. So you stop going forward. You know what? Don't stop. Keep pushing forward. Keep going forward. Because then the angel looks at him and says, okay, what's your name? Oh, let me read it. We probably ought to read it now. Hallelujah. Verse 25, and he saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, calling him a prince. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, your name. My name. What is your name? Come on. King of kings and Lord of lords. What do you want to hear, bro? The Lion of the tribe of Judah? Tell me your name. Hallelujah. He goes, hey, wherefore is it that you ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, talking about the animals, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Can I tell you something? When you get a hold of God, when you finally get a hold of God, When you take your time and you go after God with all you can, and all of a sudden he touches you, you know what that does? It places something. It builds a memory. It builds something within you that will never be released. Because, you know, and even his children today, he said that even the children today do not eat of that section of meat where that hip was on their animals, because God touched Jacob or Israel on that thigh. Your seeking God and going after God will always implant in you something very, very, very deep. Very deep that you'll never get away from. Isn't that cool? It is so important that we do that with God. Allow him to touch us in the innermost being with what he has for us. Hallelujah. Jacob was contending with God even though he could never win. Jacob, in his contending, actually was contending with God in himself. Can I tell you that? Can I say that to you? A lot of times it's yourself you're contending with. You want to serve God, is that right? In Romans chapter 7, it says the thing that I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, those are the things I always end up doing. I don't get it. You want to serve God, but you're contending. Do you understand me? You're contending with yourself. And that's what Jacob was doing. He was contending with himself because he had a hold of God. Get a hold of God and you watch the stuff that's in you, the fleshly things, the things that are contrary to who you are, they're going to fall off, because God has a way of freeing you. Being a contender with God. How many of you want to be contending with God today? God, I can't wait to get home so I can contend with you, God. I want to hear what you got to say, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to know what you have for me. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, the world needs people that contend with God, that will go after God and hold on to him. Problem is, a lot of the church is actually contending with God in a different way, in an opposite way. God has things for you. He's got things that He wants to give you, but you're contending with Him by saying, no, that's not me. I got something else I want to do. I want to do it my way. Now you're contending with God. And I can tell you right now, you're not going to win. Hallelujah. How many don't want to be contending with God that way? But how many would rather be contending for the blessing? The Word of God says, contend for the faith. To go after the faith. Go after the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. He's saying something to me. Right? Man, okay. Jacob knew he had to submit. Hey, who won this match? Who won that wrestling match? It's not like God didn't want him to contend with him, that hey, let me go, but don't let me go. Is that right? Remember God saying that to you? Let me go, but don't let me go. God wanted that wrestling match. God won because what it did to Jacob, calmed him down, allowed faith to build in his heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, God won the match. Of course. Is that right? Here we got Freddie over here. We got David. I mean, who's going to win? God won the match. Check this out. Hallelujah. The events in your life, listen to me, listen to this. Something's going on. The events in your life are taking you to your wrestling match. Is that okay? The events in your life are taking you to the arena. Hallelujah. Some people push back on the arena. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to do that. You resist God, but the events in your life are actually bringing you into it. Is that right? Because God will always, always drag you in so He can show you what He has for you. He's always going to do that because He loves you. For Him just to leave you alone and say, okay, yes, good enough. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, okay, that's good enough. No, it's not that. It's not like that. God always wants to bring you in and strengthen you and build you. Huh. So your life is an arena. It really is. You know, I was studying this for this message, but I'm not even sure if I've got it right and everything. But the Greek word arena means dirt. Is that crazy? It means dirt. Because the old arenas, the old stadiums were built around a little circle, kind of like our basketball courts, kind of like our football fields. You got all the people on the outside, but the arena was dirt. The word for wrestling, I didn't write this down, I should have given it to you, but the word for wrestling, the wrestling that they did, it's dirt. Dust is what the word for wrestling, I think I wrote it down. Check this out. Didn't write it down. But the word for wrestling, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, you're going to find out that that word means dust. Kind of like two people are wrestling. How many of you know if they're out in the yard somewhere, there's going to be a bunch of dust flying all over the place because they're wrestling around. But it means dust. The arena that you're in is the earth. The earth is God's arena to bring all these things together, to bring you to Him, to get you strong, to build you. Do you get what I'm trying to tell you? I don't know, but God, your life, even though you might think you're not going in the right direction, God's going to pull it around. He's going to bring you right back because this arena is going to get smaller and smaller on you, and you're going to find out that God does love you. He does care about you. He cares about your young people. He cares about your children. He cares about all those people around you. He loves you, and He cares. But it's important we don't push away. It's important. Hallelujah. What are you contending for, or who are you contending with? Probably contending with yourself. John chapter 10:10, I want you to read this. This is what the Word of God says. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You see? Jesus is setting some goals, setting some things out there in front of you so that you know there's something to contend for. I am, John chapter 14:6 says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me is what the Word of God says. Jesus says, you got to come to me. You got to come to me. you watch what happens. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite anybody that wants to come up and just say, you know, I'm tired of contending against God, but I want to give my heart to the Lord today. I want to renew my vow to God this morning. I'm going to ask you to come on. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And could I get everybody to stand? It's important that you contend for the faith and not contend against God. There are some folks in this house, and I know I'm speaking to some of them, that you've been contending, but you've been contending for your own desires, your own, what you want. And God is saying, hey, man, it's not about what you want, it's what I have for you. I'm going to read this power verse to you. I want you to see what the power verse is for today. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, 9. This is what the Word of God says. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. When was the purpose given to you? When? Before the world began. Before your mom and dad even named you, Henry, Rosie, whatever, before they even named you, God called you from the beginning of time and said, hey, I've got a purpose and a plan for you. What hurts me, I say, is that there's people that never find what God has actually designed for them. And that is so sad. How many of you know that? It's so sad that people will not find that thing that God has purposed for their life. And that's what we're about here today. If you're tired of contending and trying to go your own way, trying to do it on your own, but you want God to show you what it is that he has for you, I want you to come up. I'm going to invite you to the altar. We're going to pray for you just a little bit. We're going to sing a couple of songs. We're going to worship God just a little bit. And then we're going to let you go in and have some pumpkin pie and pie. This is Pumpkin Sunday, so we want to invite everybody to do that. But before we do that, hey, isn't that nice? Spiritually challenge you, and then spirit, and then fleshly challenge you to go back to the back and have some. What kind of altar call is that, bro? Listen, there are people, some of you in this house, you know who you are. You know that God is saying to you, I've got things for you, but you've got to do it my way. No more contending. No more trying to do it on your own, but you come, and I will show you what I have for you. If you want to do that, come on up. If you would, bow your heads and let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are, Father God, that you are speaking to our hearts this morning, Lord, that you're desiring to give us the things that you have purposed for us, but we're resistant to that which you have for us, Father. Father, show us what you have. Show me what you have for me, Lord. Show me that thing that you placed within me that I don't even know about. Thank you for it, Lord.